Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
For joining us right now, as he does every Friday at this time, it's John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, boys. A little change up on the Billy Joel lineup there this morning. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a different producer running the board today.
Yeah, Matt Valdez is
Out at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, he's living the life of luxury out on the West Coast today.
Well, he's just playing a public golf course.
I know.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be nice. Everybody's raves
nice.
About
I'd
it.
I'd like to be there.
A good one, though.
I'd like to be there.
Exactly.
Hey, John, I wanted to get your take on, obviously, this Duke-Syracuse game tomorrow night is going to be interesting on many levels. I want to get your take on Zion and then Boeheim. So let's start with Zion. Obviously, you saw the injury. Shoe exploded right there on the court.
Which I've never seen before.
Nike's stock dropped like 2%.
You see, it dropped $1.1
billion. Just a point. I was surprised. Yeah. I thought it would drop more, to be honest
with you.
Well,
hold on. But $1.1 billion in the company's valuation
that's
is still
minor.
Significant.
That's minor.
I mean, it's fine. It'll get back to where it was. But what would you do if you were, you know, Zion's dad? If you were Zion himself, would you sit
out? And I know where you're going with this. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but look, he's a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
You play.
Of course.
He wants to play basketball. Dude, why would he want to sit?
I don't think
and
he does.
Not play basketball. When was the last time? Look, I you know, and you guys know, I think the one and done is a pox. I've said that for years. You should be able to go straight into the NBA coming out of high school if you're that good. And, you know, people say, oh, what about their education? Oh, please stop. I mean, come on. Now, Zion Williamson isn't in college to get an education. He's in college because the rules require him to be, as are those other two Duke kids and the kids in Kentucky and a bunch of other kids. And it's not that many every year, but still, it's the most visible guys. And, of course, the TV people, you know, start talking about them as NBA prospects before they've played a game in college.
Yep.
So the rules should be changed. The rules going to be changed. They should not wait until the next contract, which is 2021. They should do it right now this season. This group of seniors should be eligible to go into the NBA draft this June if they so desire.
Well, they just
That's
dropped the
one.
Age
That's
requirement, did they? Didn't they do that
they're
yesterday?
Proposing they're proposing it.
No, they're proposing it.
Okay, gotcha.
But it'll be approved.
And it's worth remembering, by the way, that it's the union as much as the owners who have wanted this rule, who have wanted to keep players from getting into the league earlier. I don't understand that because
I assume
it does is it means the guy who's at the end of his career at 32, 33 might get another year on a roster because these kids are being held back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, by the way, John,
it's bad for the sport.
John, the record, I agreed with you. I mean, I think he should play unless he's hurt. Yeah, he should play, and I think he will play.
And this notion, you know, Scottie Pippen, you know, everybody's saying Scottie Pippen's a genius now. Look, two things. One, players play basketball. Okay, that's what you do. Now, should he be allowed to play in the NBA? Yes, of course, we know that. But for him, that ship sailed, and he's playing college basketball, as are these other kids. You play the game. You don't. They all have insurance, by the way.
Yeah, right.
They're all protected,
right?
In the sense that if you know, remember the kid at Baylor who had the heart issue, 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah,
he got several million dollars in insurance.
Is that Isaac Austin? Was that his name? Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Isaac
Good memory.
Austin.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that go down the list of basketball players. Now football's different.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball players. Who have had career-ending injuries in college.
Extremely
very
rare.
Small, very
no,
small.
Extremely rare.
Knock wood, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And these days, even if he had torn his ACL, which would have been awful, obviously his season would have ended, he
routine
wouldn't have been
injury
ready to
start
as a rookie, he's still going to come back and have a 15-year NBA career.
Yeah, it's a routine injury. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't call any injury like that routine, but it happens all the time.
The catastrophic ones are blowing out your Achilles, which tends to not happen to a younger kid, and maybe like a Kevin Ware, Paul George type thing. But even those
right.
are overcome.
And Kevin Ware, by the way, came back to play basketball, and so did Paul George.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
As awful as those injuries were.
Yeah.
So my point is that all these people who are screaming he shouldn't play, that's stupid. Now, people, the fact that it is reviving the question of the one and done and may help lead to it going away, that's a good thing. That's the right thing.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, the Boeheim thing is obviously totally
should
different.
Should he coach tomorrow night?
I think he's got to make that decision. You know, that's a decision I don't think any of us can make for him. I think he's got to just decide whether it should he sit out as a matter of respect to the man who was killed. I don't know the answer to that. It's obviously an awful situation. From everything I've read, he was a wrong place at the wrong time moment. It horribly happens to people every single day. We just talk about it when it involves a celebrity. And I think he just has to decide whether he feels it's okay for him to go into a competitive situation. I remember a different circumstance, but my father died 13 years ago, the day before I had a book published. And on the next day, I did a whole slew of radio and TV things mm-hmm. because my dad had said to me the week before, you got to go promote your book. Mm-hmm. You know, he knew he was dying. He'd come home to die. So it was just a matter of when at that point. And so I did. And I think everybody has to make their own decision. This is different because it wasn't expected. This gentleman was 51. My dad was 85. Jim's got to make his own decision on that. I won't criticize him either way.
Yeah. Yeah, I 100% agree. I want to get your take. This is a more broad question, and this is not political by any nature. But just in sports, John, it's reports are crazy. We were talking about it this morning with the Bryce deal, right? The Padres are out. No, like a respected reporter, you know, like a Bob Nightingale or something. No, they're out. Oh, then another respected reporter. No, they're actually in. Oh, the Nats are out. No, another respected reporter. No, they actually still have a shot. They could swoop in late. Skins on Joe Flacco, they were hot for him. No, another reporter says, no, they were just doing their due diligence. I've never seen such wide reporting. It's you don't know what to believe. It seems like it's at a fever pitch now.
You're actually raising a very good point. And the problem is this, and again, we've discussed this before. The standards in sports writing have slipped in the last, 5, 10, 15, 20 years in terms of the use of anonymous sources. And, you know, the TV so-called, insiders, mm-hmm. Adam Schefter being the king of it in the NFL, are the worst at it because they can throw anything at the wall that they want because their sources don't have to stand behind what they're telling them. And the best example, and I'm not trying to pick on Schefter, although I'm not a fan of his, but at the end of the 20, where we were at 17 season, remember 2 weeks before the end of the season, he reported that Marvin Lewis was out in Cincinnati, mm-hmm. that he was going to resign or be fired the day after the Bengals season ended. And he had it wrong. I mean, he was wrong. His source was wrong. Mm-hmm. Sources. And this happens all the time. Clearly, when somebody is saying the Padres are out and somebody else is saying the Padres are in, somebody's going to be wrong.
Right.
But they don't have to stand behind it because of all this anonymous sourcing. There was a story today, I'm trying to remember, in the Post, about the one-and-done rule. And they were talking about the fact that, Zion Williamson could take a bad team this year, and if he'd played for him, give him 7 to 10 more wins. And the guy who wrote the story quoted an anonymous NBA executive on that. Why would you grant anonymity on a quote like that? See, and the problem is it's like a gateway drug. Once you grant one guy anonymity, then you start granting people anonymity all over the place. And it's bad. It is a problem. And, certain guys will go out and say, well, I have a source who told me this. I'm sure they did, by the way,
right?
That they're not making it up. But the source might be making it up. Maybe this because, remember, we're all of us are subject to being used. By sources. People are trying to get a certain man. I mean, Scott Boras whispers in reporters' ears anonymously all the time.
Aren't you supposed to have multiple sources, though, back in the day?
Well, if you're doing your due diligence, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, remember the old thing from Woodward and Bernstein? They didn't go with anything unless they had at least two sources.
Right.
And they were very careful about making sure, does this guy have an axe to grind? Is there a reason why he'd be whispering this in our ears? And they got it right.
Yeah.
And they're Woodward's the best reporter who ever lived, which is why it's funny when anybody questions him, you just go back and say, look at his history. He gets it right.
Right.
But a lot of times people don't get it right. And you're right. It's extremely frustrating. I'm at the point where I don't believe anything I read unless somebody's on the record.
Right.
John, it's late February. I'm looking at the NHL standings. Your Islanders still 2 points clear of the Caps with 77.
Bad loss last night. Jeepers. I mean, they didn't score after the first period. They give up a goal at 17:08 of the third and lose in overtime. At least they got a point. But, yes, they've played it way beyond anything I ever imagined.
I got to start using that word, jeepers.
Impressive what?
Jeepers. That's a good word, isn't it? Jeepers. It's great, great Broadway musical song, Jeepers Creepers.
I haven't heard it in a while. Jeepers. I haven't heard in a while.
But impressive what Trotz is doing, and then trailing them by just two are the Caps, who got a nice win in Toronto last night. They add a piece, Carl Hagelin, before the trade deadline. So there was a lot of trepidation about the Caps about 10 days, 2 weeks ago, but they've had some nice wins of late at San Jose and at Toronto last night. They close out the road trip at Buffalo tomorrow.
Yeah, and again, I think I said to you guys that there's really no reason for anybody to panic about the Caps in January, February, even March. They know that their season starts in April, and that's been the case for a number of years for them. And last year, their season started April and ended with a parade. If I'm a Caps fan, I'm not concerned. I think the Hagelin pickup is a good one. They gave up basically nothing to get him. They're only paying half his salary, so it doesn't hurt their cap. And I think, you look when they get to the playoffs, you have to have your whole team playing well. But there are two keys. One is Ovechkin, who's having a great season, and one is Holtby, who, by the way, wasn't having a great season last year. Wasn't even the starting goalie for game one of the playoffs, as you guys remember, and ended up leading him to a Stanley Cup. So hockey is such a fluid game in terms of the ups and downs that come with a long season that I don't think that, if you're a Caps fan, I think you do two things. I think you look at the Stanley Cup that you have metaphorically sitting in your house, and you say, okay, let's tee it up when it comes to April. I mean, the Islanders are ahead of the Caps right now. Let's just say that the Islanders finish ahead of the Caps, which I don't think they will, by the way. But let's say they do. If you're playing the Islanders, you're a Caps fan, do you think you're going to lose? I don't. I still think the Caps are better than the Islanders. I still think the only team I would say in the East that's definitively better than the Caps right now is Tampa Bay, because they're definitively better than anybody.
Have a good weekend, John.
You guys too. I will. I will be in Florida next week on my heading home when I talk to you.
Hey, we're going to be in Florida
the week
March
after,
3rd through 5th.
You're not doing it. You're not working out
training.
There, are you?
I'm going to the Honda Classic next
week.
Oh, very good. Well, enjoy.
That's near us, though, right? It won't be far.
Is that
Palm Beach Gardens? Palm Beach Gardens.
I'm unaware.
Yeah, it's not
pretty much across the street.
I think Tiger said he's not playing.
Yeah, he's not.
Tiger's
playing.
Not playing.
And let me say real quick, Tiger's not playing. Rory McIlroy's not going to play either. Uh-huh. And that tournament is a home game for both of them because they both live in the area. But the way the new schedule is,
it would screw them.
They're going to play Riviera. They're going to play this week WGC. They're going to play Arnold Palmer's event, and they're going to play in the Players. So they got to take a break somewhere.
There you go.
Yeah, you can't blame him.
Has John Feinstein been to the woods, which EB's been to twice?
No
God
chance.
God forbid.
No chance.
And he's heading back there.
I like it.
2 weeks, John.
It's not bad.
I can't wait to go.
It's a nice ambience.
Have a great time.
Yeah, I will.
Just give Tiger more money because he needs it so much.
Of course he does.
Why not? Somebody's got to get it.
He's poor. All right, John.
Thank you, John.
See you guys.
Thanks,
John. All right, buddy.
Hey, what do NBA champion Quinn Cook, Jaren Jackson, former Maryland great Mello Trimble have in common? They all attended Coach Wooten's basketball camp. At Coach Wooten's basketball camp, their goal is for campers to love basketball more by instilling more confidence, teaching the game, having fun. They teach all day, every day, 5 skill sessions per day. They work on your basketball IQ with competitions, contests, guest speakers, 3 games per day. Instruction is the difference at Coach Wooten's basketball camp. Register today at CoachWooten.com. That's two O's and two T's. That's CoachWooten.com. Coming up at 8:40, Maryland Hoops coach Mark Turgeon.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Fellas, my buddy Matt Carlin just texted me. I've known Matt Carlin for years. He owns a bunch of restaurants in the D.C. area, most notably Circa.
His brother Rob does a silly job with the Caps pregame.
Yep, same family, same family.
Intermission. Circa's right down the street from us now, right?
Circa Navy Yard just opened up.
I every day on the way to work.
Right down the street.
Now, it's not open when I drive by because it's 5:15 in the morning.
But there's a Circa in Clarendon. There's a Circa in Foggy Bottom.
Yep.
Circa right down at Capital One in Chinatown.
Yep. China.
But they're opening up one. It's already open right here at Navy Yard. He's bringing by, and Bickle's going to love this, bringing by some gift cards.
Love me some gift cards.
Music's our ears.
I'm actually going to be there on Saturday night, I believe.
Very cool.
My man Courtney West hooked me up with a car courtesy of Chariots for Hire.
Look at you.
Well, I'm not going to drive.
No,
he lives the ball.
You're a responsible grown up adult type person.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Have a cocktail or two with my wife and then hang out at the Navy Yard on Saturday night.
Very nice.
Date night.
Well, with another couple, but yeah.
Very nice.
It's kind of date night.
Mark Turgeon is going to join us coming up at 8:40, head coach at the University of Maryland. A couple big wins for them recently. Purdue at home, Iowa on the road, both ranked teams. But an update on again, off again. Apparently it's on. Pep Hamilton and Oliver Luck will join us in studio right around 9 o'clock.
Very good.
Peppy.
If you don't know who they are, Oliver Luck, his son is Andrew Luck.
Yes.
But he is the commissioner of the XFL.
He is, yes.
And yesterday they had a big announcement at Audi Field. That's where the DC team will play. And the head coach is Pep Hamilton.
Peppy.
Who coached Andrew Luck, by the way, in college.
And Pep Hamilton went to what college?
He went to Howard.
I would like to know the name of the Washington XFL franchise. I know they haven't determined it yet, but I'd like to
what
know
are the
what
candidates.
I haven't heard. I don't know. I'd like to know the names of teams.
Is
and
the
franchises.
XFL is that a summer season, Drabby?
I think it's next this time next year,
2020.
So it's late,
I think so.
Like late winter, early spring.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it would rival the AAF.
I would guess so.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think the AAF is going to be around too long. But that's just my opinion.
Well, we'll talk to Oliver Luck and Pep Hamilton about that at 9 as they join us in studio.
Very good.
All right, we got an Oscar preview earlier in the show from Kevin, but we haven't really talked much entertainment, so let's open up the entertainment page.
All right.
Touch on the Hollywood, the music scene, get some celebrity scoop.
I'm sitting here ready to be entertained.
I don't need the Jesse Smelly guy's the latest news on him.
I'm done with him. Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much over that story, right?
I'm over it.
The guy's a big liar. Pants are on fire.
Yeah, he's
wasn't
just an
aware
idiot.
That he wrote a check to the two guys.
Case just doesn't pay attention to the news.
He pays attention to
stock news.
I pay attention to the broad strokes. I don't need every last gory detail about Jesse Smollett.
Is his name really pronounced Jesse, and they're trying to be creative with the spelling?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think
his name is Jesse.
Well, who would name their kid Jesse?
I don't know. It's a terrible name.
People will spell a kid's name differently to be different.
Did our friend Rick Springfield talk about Jesse's girl?
No,
Jesse's girl.
You just got to go online and research.
His name's Justin.
His name's Justin. Okay. Jesse is a nickname for Justin.
That makes sense.
Justin shouldn't have a nickname. You're just called Justin. Sorry.
I agree.
If your name is Justin, you're doomed to be called Justin for the rest of your life. Like John has. Why is Jack a nickname for John? That's weird. That doesn't really make any sense.
Make sense.
But it's kind of a thing. That's why he became Johnny Cakes.
No, I don't even know why I became Johnny Cakes. People ask me it all the time, and I never have a good story.
The nickname for John should be John.
Right. You're just called John. You're bored.
Yeah.
You're easy to say. To a bored name for the rest of your life.
It's easy to say. Yeah. I mean, you don't need to shorten it.
Now,
or
if your name's William and people call you Bill, that makes sense. Right. If your name is Eric, I'm sorry, your name's just Eric for the rest of it. There's no nickname. Let's just, people call you E, like you're on Entourage.
or
EB in his case. Jason, Jay, might work. That kind of works.
Or Bish Bucks.
I like Lurch. I'm still old school. I like Lurch.
You know what? Take your Lurch and stick it up your butt.
If you're Matt Cahill, you're just Matt. You're not turned into Ma or Ma.
Nah, some people do Maddie. Some people do Maddie. They don't really do it with Matt.
When you're five, when you're young, just like our friend Tom Horsekip, he still goes by Tommy. He's nearly 50 years old.
Yeah. Some names
are. Well, he's always been Tommy to us.
Some names are just, they're good for that.
Or just
call him Horsey.
Yeah, Horsey.
His last name is Horsekip.
Well, my son's name is Steven. We've called him Stevie his whole life.
Steven is my name.
If we don't call him Stevie, we'll call him Steven. When people call him Steve, I want to blow my brains out. I abhor
Why, you
Steve.
Hate that name, Steve?
I don't, just don't like it. I like Steven, or Stevie. Don't like Steve.
Right. You know this, I've always
Well, you
been...
called him Stevie because you like Stevie Francis.
No.
That's the reason.
Yeah. No. But, I mean, you know this.
That's right. Just because he was like, Stevie, I like that name.
I've always been big on ownership of your name. And what happens is some people whose names get butchered for whatever reason, if they don't speak up and correct it, then it goes like that. Like, so does your son, if somebody calls him Steve?
Oh, no, he doesn't care.
See,
it's my care.
And so what happens then is a bunch of people are going to call him Steve.
I'm
sure. It gets adopted.
When he goes to school, that's what I'm worried about.
I had a teacher.
Those guys are going to call him Steve.
Right.
It's going to make me nutty.
It's going to tilt you.
I had a teacher, and I've told the story before, in ninth grade geography class. Cakes and I took the class together. He was John Auville, and we sat in alphabetical order. There was another kid named John, and my name is John-Paul. First name. That is my name. John Paul, like the former Pope. And the teacher would ask a question, and she would call me John, and she would stare at me, and I wouldn't answer the question. She'd go, John. John.
Does that surprise you, by the way, that
John
JP's
Paul.
Stubborn?
Yeah, exactly.
No, but my point is I wasn't allowing her to call me John.
Yeah, you didn't want to give...
that wasn't my name.
You didn't want to give Miss Finney that power.
Right, and once she called me John Paul and say... The capital of Maryland's Annapolis, or whatever the hell we were studying.
Social studies. What a waste of time.
And then John Turner would come in with like the basketball
He
coach.
Went to class?
No. He would come in, and he was like escorted by the basketball coach, and he would turn in his homework.
Yeah.
Right. The basketball coach
class.
Did it.
Yeah. Right. Did we talk about the fact that Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston and all her girlfriends were on that plane, and they had to... They were on a private plane like 3 days after their birthday party, the 50th birthday party for Jen Aniston.
Right.
We talk about this. It got mainstream coverage. It was on like CNN.
We did not.
That 3 days later, a bunch of the girls got on a private plane to go to like Cabo or somewhere.
Cabo.
Right. And
for their 50th birthday.
The tire blew.
Oh.
The tire blew on the private plane on takeoff. They heard a loud bang and they had to circle for 4 hours to burn off all the excess fuel and then make an emergency landing.
Oh, that is harrowing.
And I guess they stuck the landing.
They nailed the landing.
That was the story yesterday. Courtney Cox was talking about it.
Yeah, and Courtney Cox said, yeah, she was scared. She's not scared of flying. Her dad was a pilot. You know, she's been flying around in private planes her whole life,
right.
Practically.
Shocker.
But when she heard that bang and just knowing that they had 4 hours here to burn off all that fuel, and, you know, even though there are two wheels on each side.
Yeah.
And one of the wheels was blown, so they still had a wheel, and so they had one left on one side and two on the other, and then two in the front. I mean, it was pretty much going to be a standard landing anyway, but they had to be cautious. She still texted her daughter that she loved her. She still, you know, was FaceTiming or texting her boyfriend and telling him everything that was going on. How would you handle those 4 hours?
EB, do you have the skinny? Did Jennifer Aniston text Brad Pitt?
I don't know if she texted Brad Pitt or John Mayer.
She probably thought about it.
Yeah. You have 4 hours to basically consider your fate. You're thinking, well, this might be it. This might be four
hours. Well, I mean,
it
depends on what the captain was telling the pilot. If he said,
they knew. They could look out the window and see there was no tire.
No, but I'm saying the pilot probably said, it's going to be fine. I'll just have to fly around and burn off the gas. Or
just in case.
Just in case, but we're going to be fine. Then I would have felt okay. Now, if he would have come back and said,
it's a little dicey.
It's a little dicey. Yeah. It's a coin flip.
Well, you can't say that.
Right. I would have freaked out.
Cakes, if you had those 4 hours, would you still be putting in DFS sweats?
Well, probably not.
I still would have put in some hockey parlays.
If I don't think I'm coming out on the other side, what's the point? A free dollar up to Eric Bickle to test his Courtney Cox knowledge.
I won't know it. You're going to ask me the Bruce Springsteen video? I know you so well.
That's where I was going.
Dancing in the dark?
How about this question, though?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have got it.
He should know this, but he is, you know.
I think he wins the dollar.
He is our
well, such an easy question.
Our pop culture maven here.
Yeah.
What was her character's name in Friends?
Ooh, Courtney Cox was.
Wasn't Rachel.
That's so easy.
Hold on. This is a layup? I'm not a big Friends mark.
Wasn't that
so,
big of a Friends.
Hold on. So she.
Wasn't Phoebe.
I wasn't huge on Friends
Phoebe,
or even Seinfeld.
Rachel. Wait a
Rachel,
second. There's Joey.
Hold on.
There's Chandler. There's.
Go through the alphabet.
Hold on. Why am I spacing on her?
Wow,
I think I know.
Hold on. Don't tell me.
I could be wrong.
What's the first letter of the first name?
I think it's an M.
Correct.
Marcia.
No,
it's not Marsha.
God, I should know this.
Meredith.
I could be wrong.
Madison.
No, I think I'm right.
Maddie.
Okay, it's Monica.
That's what
but
I thought.
Monica. I knew
you
that.
You know what? I know it now, but yeah. I know all the other ones first.
Monica's a hurt name, too, by the way.
Who did Monica marry on Friends?
I'm telling you, I didn't watch the show that much.
Who did Monica marry?
Hold on. She married
another sitcom guy.
David Schwimmer.
Matt LeBlanc.
David Schwimmer.
Oh, you guys are horrible.
What, like a guest?
She married Chandler Bing.
Matthew Perry?
Yeah.
Wasn't she?
I don't remember that.
Wasn't
I didn't watch the show that much.
Was Courtney Cox?
I did. No, I did. We should know that.
Now, look, I'm not a big Friends guy, so I'm
a
asking a question.
Yeah, Central Perks. Yeah,
Central Perk, not Perks. There's no S on the end.
Central Perks.
You sound like JP, add an S to everything.
Donk. was Courtney Cox banging Tom Selleck on Friends? Was there some romantic thing there?
Yes.
All right, so I know a little bit about Friends.
All right, we've done all the Friends stuff. Let me just say this. She looks so different.
She's had too much plastic
She's
surgery
had so her. Much surgery on her face.
Yeah.
On her eyes and
Botox
her lips.
And everything.
She looks so totally different.
Why does she ship
Jennifer Aniston looks like she's 20.
She's doing it right. She's probably doing little tiny little things.
Courtney Cox, the next time you want to go under the knife, just send me a gift card for whatever procedure, and I'll get the bags hooked up. Because I clearly need it more
Why
than
don't
she
we
does.
Do that? Can we get in bags?
I want that, too.
She looks worse.
Can we do that?
I'm sure we could.
You know.
Somebody, get some endorsements.
Not a big deal.
So I just want to put a needle under your eye and just drain it.
I know. It's very puffy, and it needs that.
I just want to.
Look, if that would work, I would welcome it. You could do it. I would let you do that. I would.
I got a zit under my nose I can't get rid of. It just keeps coming back. It's
the one that Jason brought up the other day?
Yeah, it went away and then
hurts
it came
like a
back.
Mofo, doesn't it?
Well, because I keep squeezing it.
And that's the one spot right there. Very sensitive
area. I go right in there with my razor. I get right in there with my razor.
You got to just leave it be. Let it run its course.
Yeah,
you're irritating.
All right, what else you got?
I am.
What else you got, Richie?
We talked about Karl Lagerfeld dying, the fashion guy. Cakes apparently
Is it Lagerfeld or Lagerfeld?
Lagerfeld.
It's a Feld.
What did I say?
He's a Lagerfeld.
That's fine.
I haven't barely ever heard of the guy.
I know a lot about Karl Lagerfeld.
But apparently, I don't know. Has he got hundreds of millions? In his estate, they're saying he's going to give a significant portion of it to his cat.
What?
His dumb cat, who apparently has
What's a cat going to do with millions?
His cat's got 235,000 Instagram followers. Cakes.
What?
His cat's a celebrity.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Dumbest thing ever. Peter Tork of the Monkees died. I don't know. One of the guys with
who
a bowl
knew
cut.
They were alive?
Yeah, who
the
knew?
Monkees.
The bowl cut.
I think at least two of them are still alive.
He was 77, Cakes. So,
it's a pretty good run. Pretty solid.
Pour some out for him.
We can do
him.
More in the 9 o'clock hour because we have Coach Turgeon.
There's not that much more left, but we can if you want.
We're not going to do more than 9 o'clock hour.
We're going to talk to Pepe in the 9 o'clock hour.
That's Pepe true. And Oliver.
Yep.
They should just go my route and just go after all.
We'll talk to them about it.
You know,
ask them that.
Yeah, you can pitch them. Give them your elevator pitch.
Players like on
you
the outside looking in.
Johnny Manziel was the quarterback of the
DC
XFL
team. They should sign Cap. That'd be the first signing. Should sign Cap right now.
Cap might have coached him.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, Coach Mark Turgeon, University of Maryland's had a couple big wins against Purdue and Iowa, two ranked teams. We'll talk to the coach next, right here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Very boring. Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We'll be joined shortly by Mark Turgeon, head coach of the Terps. They take on Ohio State tomorrow at 2 p.m. in College Park. So that's a big one.
Terps are 20-7.
In CP.
11-5 in conference.
Yes.
Big win against Iowa. They've got Ohio State next. And Coach Turgeon joins us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's up, Coach?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good morning.
Doing great. Not as well as you.
Nice little run here.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun. It's good. Been a good group all year, and I think we're getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, obviously a good win the other night. We had a game that we controlled most of it and let it slip away right there in the last 3 minutes, and then the guys stepped up and made a lot of big plays down the stretch. So it was good. Good win for them, and I like the way we reacted. We were happy, but we didn't act like we did something great. And so that's a good sign. The guys are expecting to win. So, but looking forward to Saturday and coming home playing in front of our fans.
Coach, this isn't an on-the-court thing. I went to the Purdue game, and that was a big win at home. Yep. But I'm wondering your opinion on the 6:30 games because the traffic is brutal. It was kind of a late-arriving crowd. You guys had a great second half. Started off slow, missing a ton of shots early.
Is he aware of how brutal the traffic is getting in and out of there?
I mean, he lives in the area.
You got to know.
He's got to know.
He doesn't live in your hood. Where does Coach Turgeon live?
I think he does live in my neighborhood. But the point is, he doesn't know because he's at the game.
Right.
Yeah, the thing is, of course, I got to hear from my wife that travels. But
right.
We have no control of start time because it's all TV-driven. And it's tough. Yeah, I mean, it's tough, and we've had some Friday night at 6 o'clock games, which are tough, and we get it. And I tell our kids, our team, I'm like, hey guys, start of the game, there's not going to be a lot of people here. The students should be here, but it's hard for our fans to get here. I said, let's just play well. And I said, by the second half, this building will be full. It's not fair, but it's the way it is here. And we've accepted it. But later start times are better for us, but we can't control those things.
And there's nothing there's probably nothing you could do about it, but like if you're just driving on Campus Drive, to get to the parking lot, it took like a half hour because everybody's crossing the street.
Yeah, a lot of students and pedestrians.
I'll tell you what, Coach, I live in Loudoun County, and unless the game is on the weekends, I can't. It takes me 2.5 hours to get from Loudoun County to College Park during the week. Can't do it.
Yeah, it stinks. It stinks, and I wish it was easier. And on top of that, it feels like every home game we've had, it's rained or snowed.
Right.
And so our fans have been pretty committed. We've had great crowds. And I know it's not easy. I know it's not cheap. I know it's not easy. But I just appreciate the ones that make it work. And we got 3 of our last 4 at home. So hopefully we'll have some good crowds, Saturday afternoon, a Sunday afternoon, and a Friday night. Hopefully we'll have great crowds.
So you guys beat Iowa. Tough place to play. Beat them by 1, as you mentioned. You played really well in the second half, even though they did, make a push there.
But got the rank thing off that monkey.
You finally
off your back.
Got the road win against the ranked team, so you don't have to worry about that anymore. But I wanted to talk to you about the shot that Iowa played Rutgers before they played you, and I'm not sure if it was Bohannon or Wieskamp, but when they played Rutgers, that kid hit a shot from the corner, turnaround shot from the corner that banked off the backboard, right, and went in. And he could take that shot a million times and not hit it off the backboard. That was incredible. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No, it was the Wieskamp kid. And it was the whole thing was incredible because the pass was tipped.
Right.
And Wieskamp happened to just be standing in the corner, and it was tipped right to him, and he picked it up. And it was still really good defense by Rutgers. They tipped the ball, and then they were playing the shot. And I thought they did everything right. Rutgers did. They double teamed Bohannon. Weren't going to let him get the ball, and they still made it. And that's college basketball.
It's nuts.
And Yeah, it is nuts. It is nuts. I'm just glad for us. You know, they did get two looks. I was disappointed we didn't box out on the first shot. And, you know, they both bounced off for us. So, you know, that's just the way it works. Sometimes shots go in on you. Sometimes they don't. And, we were fortunate on Tuesday night to come out on top.
You know, everybody knows about Bruno and Anthony Cowan had a big game. Your defense, though, I'm seeing some numbers here. You guys have held opponents under 70 in 9 of the last 10 games. You're 19th in efficiency defensively, according to KenPom. Talk about your defense, which is really carrying you.
Yeah, I think it starts with our length. You know, Styx and Bruno, they protect the rim. We'll make mistakes, and they're blocking shots by the rim, which really help us. Up until Tuesday, we were a great rebounding team. And Tuesday, we decided not to box out, and it almost cost us the game. So, of course, we watched a ton of film on that yesterday, and hopefully we'll be better tomorrow. But our first-shot defense has been terrific. If we can just get our transition defense better, which we have, but it's got to continue to get better. We've made an X and O change that should help us there, hopefully moving forward. And if we continue to rebound, our defense has been great. So we have some really good individual defenders. Anthony Cowan's a terrific defender. Dale Marcel's a terrific defender. With our length, it's been good. And our guys take it on as a challenge. So it's been, you know, I wasn't expecting it, to be quite honest with you, with such a young team. But we've done it for, 27 games. So it's what we are. It's what we do. And I do think we can get better. Like I said, those two areas, if we get better at those two areas, we could be really hard to score on down the stretch.
Talking to Coach Turgeon from the University of Maryland, they're 20-7, 11-5 in the Big Ten. And when you say a young team, you're actually the third youngest team in the country. Out of 353 teams, they're 351.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. And my goal every year is to get older, and I just can't figure it out. And,
right. It's hard.
I do think, it is hard at this level, but I do think we've signed some players that'll be with us for a while. Not all of them, but a majority of them. I think the incoming class we have coming in will be 3 or 4 year, four-year guys for us. So hopefully we can get older, because I think that's a huge advantage. But I'll say this, we play Daryl and Bruno and Anthony a lot in big games. And even though they're just two sophomores and a junior, they play way beyond their years. So, but our young guys are really mature, no egos. Every night somebody a little bit different for us, but it's been a fun group. And when you are young, you can get better. And I just think that it's kind of been our philosophy moving forward, that we just try to get a little bit better every day. And I think we've done that. And if we continue to do that, hopefully we can be a great team before the year's over.
Coach, you mentioned the four games you have before the conference tournament, 3 out of 4 at home. One of those games is going to be Michigan next Sunday on March 3rd. Yeah. And you've played Michigan already, and I wanted to get your take. You've played Michigan and Virginia, all right? And they're very similar in terms of the way they play. Their efficiency numbers are pretty similar, especially on the defensive end. They're both in the top two or three in defensive efficiency. Their pace of play is very similar. Can you compare the two? I mean, are they pretty much identical? I think Virginia's a better team. I just think they have better offensive players. But can you compare the two, and what did you notice about those two teams when you played them?
I agree with what you said. I really don't want to get into Michigan, to be honest with you.
Right,
we got Ohio State Saturday, but they're both really good teams. They're very well coached. I agree with that. I think, and I've only, we might have caught Michigan on an off day, but Virginia was a little bit further on offense, and I think they're a little bit deeper than Michigan also. But, they're both great teams. We had a hard time getting anything going offensively against Michigan, especially in that building on that day. They both have great size, great length, and extremely well coached. So I think if they played each other, it'd be a low-scoring game.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be a heck of a game. Yeah, it'd be a heck of a game.
All right, so you mentioned Ohio State, and you play them tomorrow. Talk about Ohio State. What have you noticed on them? They've been kind of inconsistent, pretty much all year.
He notices he owns them.
Yeah, you do play them well, no. But they lost. They got killed at Michigan State a couple of games ago. I watched some of that game. They were just bad. But then they come back and they beat Northwestern after that. What kind of problems does Ohio State face?
By the way, whiteout tomorrow.
Whiteout.
Yeah, it's amazing how you guys view Ohio State and the way I view them. So.
Right?
That's right.
I think they've gotten a lot better since we played them, just like we've gotten better since then. You can tell by the way their enthusiasm is on the bench that they've stuck together during this. It's hard to win in league play, especially in this league this year. They got the big kid in the middle, Caleb, who's terrific. You know, he's a tough matchup for us. And I think defensively they're really good. I think they're very well coached defensively. And they stayed together. And I saw the Michigan State game totally different. You know, it was a 2-point game with about 7 minutes to go. So they battled Michigan State, you know, in that game. So in February, it's hard to win any games. We got to be ready. I told my team yesterday, 2 years ago, we started out 20-2. We started to leak a little bit of oil, but when we were coming home for three or four late in the season, and we just assumed we were going to win all four games. We got blasted at home by Iowa and Minnesota. So, you know, we talked about that yesterday and how just because we're coming home doesn't guarantee us anything, and we need to get better. We need to keep concentrating and lock in and give Ohio State all of our attention as we prepare for them and play the game tomorrow. So I got a team that's listened all year. I expect them to do that. But we're not taking anything for granted just because we're coming home.
All right, Coach. Well, good luck the rest of the way. Hopefully we'll talk to you before conference tournament starts, okay?
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Thanks, appreciate Coach. It.
All right, Mark.
20-7, 11-5 in the conference. Have Ohio State well. Tomorrow night.
What he's doing to be the third youngest team in the country, I mean, that is a staggering stat.
Yeah,
it really is. Surprising,
too. To be in the Big Ten and have that kind of success and to be 351 out of 353 in terms of age, that's incredible. That's great coaching right there. That's good talent. That's great coaching, too.
Absolutely.
Coaching up the young fellas.
And to have three out of four at home really helps, especially when you got to play Michigan.
Right. Now, it does help that your point guard's a junior.
For sure. Any age you got there will help.
But, I mean, five of those guys in the regular rotation are all freshmen.
Yep. All right, coming up next, I believe, joining us in studio would be Oliver Luck and Pep Hamilton. Oliver Luck, the commissioner of the XFL. Pep Hamilton is going to coach the DC team.
And be the GM. He's double dipping.
Very nice.
Yep.
We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.